everybody, and welcome to the Wintrust to Business Lunch. We so appreciate you keeping it right here on WGN Radio. We know that you're probably getting amongst the hustle and the bustle as you're getting ready for the holidays and maybe to travel or to welcome family and friends here to your home as well. So we just love that you're hanging out with us today. So thank you so much. We're going to start off the show with Jim Dalkey, who has been so nice to stay in town just so that you can be on the Wintrust Business Lunch. How's it going, Jim?
Good, G. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, you are a regular on the show. You're the senior editor of Chicago Inno. And tell us what Chicago Inno is, just in case somebody missed it.
Yeah, so Chicago Inno is a website that covers tech and startup news throughout the city of Chicago. We are a part of a network of sites in 14 cities across the country, kind of covering tech and startup news. Really, our focus is to sort of be that boots on the ground to cover up-and-coming startup scenes, basically the stuff that's not happening in Silicon Valley.
Well, we're already thinking about 2020. 20 Chicago startups to watch is on your website. Mm-hmm. An article about, you list all 20 of them. Of course, we can't talk about all 20 of them. I wish we could. But can you mention some top ones that I think people should be on the lookout for?
Totally. So in our list that we do this list every year, and this year we've got a really interesting mix of companies, both kind of consumer and business to business. And one startup that I'm really interested in Chicago is called Bartesian. And so basically what Bartesian is the Keurig, but for cocktails. So really interesting kind of countertop device. They create like a pod system where you, just like you would with your coffee, but you put in a pod, and instead of making a coffee, it makes a gin and tonic, right? So they're a really interesting company. They just made Oprah's 2019 favorite things list.
That helps, right?
Totally. Getting the Oprah bump is pretty big for any kind of early stage startup, right? So getting in that list is certainly very coveted. And they're backed by some big names as well. Tom Ricketts for the Cubs is an investor in them. Don Thompson, the former CEO of McDonald's, who runs a venture firm here in Chicago, also investing in them as well. So very interesting sort of physical product device getting some early traction in Chicago.
Well, that's one, but we're going to talk about a few more when we come back from the break. But right now, it's time to check in with Ryan Burrow with a check on weather and the markets. Welcome to back to the Wintrust Business Lunch. We've got senior editor of Chicago Inno, Jim Dalkey. He's talking about 20 Chicago startups to watch in 2020. We just went over one, Bartesian, which is basically a ready-made Keurig-like bartender in your home.
Exactly.
Which is, I think, a wonderful gift. I hope someone is going to give this to me.
It is. Yeah. I mean, right. Like, how as easy as it is to make coffee, to make a cocktail, how great is that, right?
That might be dangerous, though. I don't know if it should be that easy. But okay, so that is off to a very great start. It's a local company. What else do we need to be on lookout for?
So also on this list is a company that I really am interested in called Curl Mix. And what they do is they are a hair care product for women with curly hair. So kind of specializing in people with curly hair. And you may have seen them if you are a watcher of Shark Tank. So they were on Shark Tank earlier this year and actually turned down a $400,000 investment. So actually sometimes the one better thing than being on Shark Tank and getting a deal is turning down a deal.
Does that make you more of a hot commodity?
Well, often those deals are not super what you call founder friendly. Those investors tend to take a pretty big chunk of the businesses that end up on that show. And often the exposure from being on Shark Tank is more valuable in some cases than actually receiving an investment. So what Curl Mix was able to do, you know, already had done $1 million in revenue the year before. They're aiming at about $10 million this year. And so they really didn't need the funding. What they were able to do is get a little exposure, kind of get in front of a national audience. Didn't need to take the investment. They got to keep that kind of equity in their business. And then they've been able to keep on growing.
Wow. So it was really a PR move on their part. Marketing.
And that's kind of what that show has tended to become. A lot of those deals that you end up watching on Shark Tank kind of fall apart behind the scenes anyway. And so it's really kind of a visibility play for a lot of these companies. And, you know, for Curl Mix, you know, a company that didn't necessarily need the cash to be operational, what they're able to do is kind of get their product in front of more eyeballs. So a really big one for them.
So over $1 million in revenue already. That sounds like a product that really works. And I know I have so many friends and family members with really curly hair. It's a specialized product. Yeah,
it is. And it's a tricky industry, too, because a lot of the big hair care players are going to be operating in this space, too. Right. So what they need to do is get their product in front of as many customers as they possibly can. Show that, that it has an advantage. Right. Show that it works better and that it can really catch on with consumers.
And the variety of curly hair types. I mean, it's just all over.
Totally. So a really interesting kind of consumer product startup in Chicago.
Amazing. And do you want to mention another one?
Yeah. So there's a bunch of startups in here on this list that are really interesting. But one is called IntelliHot. And this is a tankless water heater. So this is a company down in Galesburg, so down downstate Illinois. They're actually opening up a new suburban headquarters here in Chicago starting the beginning of the year. And what they do is they've created kind of this new commercial tankless water heater. And so it sounds kind of boring, but what they've been able to do is grow really, really fast. And they have caught on with some really big names. So Facebook is using their tankless water heaters. Marriott Hotels is using their water heaters. Basically everything from a 20-unit condominium to a Las Vegas-style hotel can incorporate these tankless water heaters into their facilities.
That doesn't sound boring to me at all, because when you think about a water heater, you think about this huge tank that's in your closet and it's full of water.
Totally. I mean, in my house, you know, we bought a water heater about 3 years ago, and they had this option of getting a tankless water heater, right? And so, you know, but what they're doing is for a commercial operation. So what it really allows businesses to be able to do is to kind of have these tankless water heaters. They're much smaller. They heat water on demand, so there's no need for these giant water tanks. Yeah, there's no need for these giant water tanks to be taking up a ton of space within a building's kind of boiler room or sort of downstairs area, and they're able to kind of save money on their water bills because their water's being heated on demand and doesn't need to be like living in these huge tanks for long periods of time. So really interesting startup. It's called IntelliHot.
So smart, and I love the name. It's so great to hear about all of this innovation happening in the Chicagoland area. It's unbelievable.
Totally. Another one on the list that's really interesting to me is called K4 Mobility. And so what they are doing is basically bringing internet to the seas. So they are creating kind of internet networks for cruise ships, yachts, large boats. And what's really interesting about this business is it's founded by Michael Small, who is the former CEO of Gogo, which is the provider of airplane Wi-Fi. So Gogo is one of the kind of premier Wi-Fi makers for airplanes. And so he left that business to, instead of do air, Wi-Fi for the air, now doing Wi-Fi for the seas. So kind of bringing that same sort of innovation to the water now. And so they're really starting out in Chicago early stages, but kind of bringing this sort of in-flight connectivity to yachts and larger boats.
So perfect for when you're cruising the seas on a cruise ship.
That's right.
Or in your private yacht, you know. I mean, I know you've got one. No, just kidding. I wish we did.
I know, right?
But that is so cool. But really, there's not going to be a place on planet Earth you're not going to be able to connect.
Totally.
And
it's not, and right. And it's not just, you know, for, you know, people who are on a cruise ship, right? This is for the crew itself, right? This
right.
is for kind of the business applications too.
And
so not just surfing the web, right? But kind of doing all those things that businesses need to do on the seas. And, you know, another startup on this list that I really like is called The Mom Project. This was a startup that launched a few years ago, really kind of focusing on helping moms who've left the workforce to raise a family or for whatever reason, re-enter the workforce. So they've created this platform for thousands and thousands of women to connect with top employers.
This is one of my favorites, absolutely. Okay, so you wanted to go over some breaking news. You said Rivian.
That's
Tell
right.
us about this company.
So Rivian is an electric truck startup. So they are based in Michigan, but they have a manufacturing plant down in Normal, Illinois. So they have a 2.6 million square foot manufacturing plant where they're going to be actually conducting the actual manufacturing of all of these trucks. And just today, they raised $1.3 billion in new equity funding. So pretty massive round of funding to end the year for Rivian now, having raised actually $3 billion. Since the startup launched. And basically they're tackling a really interesting industry, right? We've seen a lot of all electric vehicles kind of already hit the roads, especially with Tesla. And they are kind of one of the early entrants into the pickup truck model. So you may have seen Tesla's sort of unveiling of their Cybertruck recently.
With a broken windshield.
It went a little haywire, right? They threw the ball through the window. It broke. Anyway, you know, Elon Musk says that his Cybertruck has over 250,000 pre-orders. So definitely a lot of interest in Cybertruck. And what we're in all electric trucks, and Rivian the startup really kind of even has a head start beyond Tesla. They've got backing from both Ford and Amazon. Amazon has committed to ordering 100,000 vehicles from Rivian. So they're going to have a electric trucks sort of power the delivery at Amazon. So this Midwest startup with a Michigan headquarters and a downstate Illinois manufacturing operation really raising some major funding and kind of, you know, going toe to toe with big players like Tesla.
Fantastic. And that will mean jobs. And Americans really love pickup trucks. People love to have a pickup truck.
Absolutely. And this plant that they're in downstate Normal, it used to be a former Mitsubishi plant, mm-hmm. closed, completely shuttered, and now they're sort of revitalizing that area and are going to bring a lot of interesting innovation and manufacturing jobs to that part of Illinois.
Okay, so last story, Jim Dalkey, can you tell us about, and this is basically, this company is an Airbnb for motorcycles. And I've always dreamed of being able to ride a motorcycle and own a motorcycle, but maybe I could start off small by renting one through Airbnb.
So this startup is called Twisted Road, and they are basically bringing an Airbnb approach to motorcycles.
Got it.
Yeah. So what you, I mean, today you could rent somebody's car, you can rent somebody's jacket, somebody's purse, somebody's home.
Yes, you
this
can.
This company is now allowing you to rent a motorcycle. So rather than spending thousands and thousands of dollars for a motorcycle of your own, if you have a motorcycle license, which you can get for free, by the way, this startup allows you to rent motorcycles. So it's created a platform for people to both rent motorcycles that they aren't using, so generate a little bit of revenue from a motorcycle that might be sitting in your garage somewhere, and also somebody who's on vacation or on a trip, if you just want to take a trip to the roadside, rent their motorcycle, that Twisted Road will allow you to do that. So they've got about 2,500 bikes kind of on their platform in just about every state across the country, and all different kinds of bikes and ranging in prices as well. So you can get it for as low as about $40 a day, and then higher models, more expensive bikes are about $500.
Okay, time for me to get my motorcycle license. Thank you so much to senior editor of Chicago Inno, Jim Dalkey. And where can everyone find your stories?
Check us out at chicagoinno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Thank you so much, Jim, and happy holidays. Right now, it's time for the Chicago Inno Minute.
Hi, this is Catherine Davis from Chicago Inno with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know.
Downers Grove-based Seven Multi-Site Solutions, a provider of construction management services, raised $17.5 million in a round led by ABS Capital Partners. Founded in 2011, Seven provides data analytics, surveys, design, and other services to companies with multiple sites. And Chance the Rapper announced that a video game coded by Chicago Public School students is the official video game for his song, I Love You So Much. The news was announced at Google's kickoff event for Computer Science Education Week at South Shore Cultural Center Park. At the event, Google.org also announced an additional $250,000 investment in Chance's nonprofit Social Works and CPS Computer Science Initiative, CS for All.
That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at chicagoinno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
A lot more coming up on WGN Radio on Wintrust Business Lunch. We're going to have Elise Glink coming up after the break. She's CEO of Best Money Moves. She's an award-winning, nationally syndicated columnist and best-selling book author and also a radio talk show host. And she's going to be talking about why more people are renting instead of buying, especially in major cities. And of course, Chicago is one of those cities where people are saying, I'm not going to buy, I'm going to rent. And she's going to be talking about that with us. Also, she always has great money advice, and I always try to listen up because I can always use money advice to straighten out my financial life, which I'm going to be working on in 2020. Right now, it's time for the news. We're back now with Elise Glink of Best Money Moves. Elise, you're going to be talking about renting.
I know. This whole question about renting versus buying and what actually is the smartest move, I get that question all the time, particularly from millennials and Gen Zs who are just trying to figure it out, you know?
Well, it's interesting. You're talking about millennials and Gen Zs, but I have a couple of friends who are retirees, and they decided that they didn't want to own a home anymore, that it was too much trouble, and they weren't getting enough positives from owning. So now they just rent.
Yeah, well, if they live in Chicago, I can get that, right? Because, of course, home prices are really not going up all that much. And, in fact, in the North Shore and in some of the western suburbs, for sellers, and your heart breaks when you say this, home prices are about where they were 20 to 25 years ago now.
Oh.
But in other parts of the country, homeowners have done better by owning than renting. Although, some of the things that are really interesting is that it doesn't really matter about money as much. Sometimes people are making the decision to rent instead of buy on other factors.
What are these factors? I thought it was always about money.
Well, in my mind, right, it should be about money. Because when you look at the amount of money that people have at the end of their lives, the most that they have is in their home. And as you move further into owning that home and keeping that mortgage, it flips. And more of your monthly payment goes to pay down the balance and very little pays interest at the end. But what people don't seem to get is that there is a huge benefit to sort of buying a house and staying there. Rent Cafe, which looks at some of the biggest trends in housing, and especially in the rental market, they have just done a sort of first-of-a-kind survey. And they looked at price, demographics, construction, and they did all these different insights into the rental market. And some of the ones that I want to share with you are really, I thought, unique. And even though I get about 100 press releases a day, this report jumped out at me as being a little bit different. So the first thing is the average rent. Well, how much do you think that is right now?
Average rent in Chicago, I would say around $1,800.
The average rent nationally is actually just a shade under $1,500.
Okay.
And that takes into account a lot of lower priced property. In Chicago, I think $1,800 is for, and we're talking about a one bedroom apartment, is probably close to the mark. I have to look and see if I've got that actual number. But what's interesting is that the average national rent increased by almost $400 or 36%. Just in the last 10 years, outpacing median home prices nationally, even with the recovery from the recession, and median income. Isn't that interesting?
This makes sense to me, Elise, because so many of my friends who do rent have had to move a lot recently because the landlord is upping their rent, and not just by $100, but by $200 or $300. And so my friends are saying, okay, I've got to move farther out from the city or into a different neighborhood that isn't as popular.
Well, that makes total sense because, of course, the renter population increased two times faster than the owning population over the last 10 years. In fact, the number of renters grew by almost over 9% versus 4.3% for homeowners. And so you've got more people chasing fewer homes that are available, especially not brand new, fancy, super expensive ones.
This is so fascinating to me as well because I live in the neighborhood of Uptown, and it seems that a lot of condo buildings are being purchased and turned into rentable units.
Right. Deconversions. They're big in Chicago. They're not big anywhere else in the country. This seems to be a fairly unique phenomenon of failed condo buildings. And by that, I mean people want to sell and they can't sell. And so investors come in and they deconvert the buildings back from condos into rentals because they feel that they can make more money. One of the interesting things about this Rent Cafe study is that there are 20 U.S. cities that made the switch from a homeowner majority to a renter majority. And at the end of the decade, a third of the largest 260 cities are now dominated by renters. And believe it or not, Manhattan is the city of renters.
Is this a good thing or a bad thing that more people are renting? How do you feel about it?
Listen, I am of the firm belief that the younger you are when you buy your first home, the wealthier you'll be later in life. And the reason I say that and what the research shows is that once you make the decision to be a homeowner, everything changes in your life, right? It's fine for you to spend $3,000 a month for your two-bedroom. If you buy a house and you're spending $3,000 a month on your mortgage, taxes, and insurance, suddenly fixing up the house, making sure that it's done, the maintenance is done, and doing all the things that you need to do become far more important than other places to spend that cash. And what are you doing? You're investing in yourself. You're paying down that mortgage balance every month. And hopefully, at some point in time, the property will rise in value.
Elise, I just had a light bulb moment when you said that, because it's not just about changing your finances, but your mentality. And yes, I imagine if you own a home, you're not going to spend the $200 on the pair of shoes or that purse. You're going to think, oh my goodness, I need to make sure that this is taken care of in my house.
Well, even if you don't do anything else and you just pay off your mortgage, at the end of the 30 years or 15 years, however long that is, you actually have a substantial asset that you can then liquidate, sell, and do something else with that money. And it gives you options to have that or stay there forever and you end up in a very relatively inexpensive place to live because you're just paying the taxes. And for those of you who say taxes are high, I get it. I pay property taxes too. But here's the thing. If you rent, you're paying somebody else's mortgage and their property taxes and the cost of the maintenance and upkeep for the property.
Wow. And you say even as a Gen Z, it's okay to go ahead and invest in a home, even though your career may end up taking you somewhere else across the country or maybe across the globe.
I think you have to buy carefully. Now, I am not saying just go out and buy the very first place you see, because I've actually written a 500-page book that tells you not to do it that way, called 100 Questions Every First-Time Homebuyer Should Ask. You can look it up at Amazon. It's the cover with the blue on it.
Is it a little bit like dating? Don't listen to the butterflies?
Well, it is, except you've got your matchmaker, right? That's your real estate agent who you've hopefully hired, a smart one who's going to help you sort of go through and think about what you really want and how long you're going to be there. And if you think you're only going to be in the city for 2 years, maybe buying a house isn't the best deal unless you've got the fixer-upper bug and you really want to make it look like we talked about last week. You want to make it look like HGTV. You've got that need, that creative juice that's just running amok. Fine, go buy a fixer-upper, fix it up, sell it. But if you're thinking about staying, you want to make sure you're going to be in one place for somewhere between 5 and 7 years. Buy smart and you'll do well.
So why is this phenomenon happening? Why are more people renting in these major cities? And do you see it staying this way or changing back?
I think there's a couple of reasons. Number one, I think millions and millions of homeowners had their finances decimated 10 years ago. And I think that for many of them, they got a little freaked out by having to liquidate 401ks in order to survive. And not only that, but take any job they possibly could. And you really saw a tremendous amount of wealth for people who were in their 50s and 60s just decimated. So that's one thing. Their kids watched it happen. And so I think millennials kind of got caught. 10 years ago, they were 28 were the oldest, and they went all the way down to like 14 or 15. They watched it happen in real time. And I think that shook them a little bit as a generation. I also think that they're coming out of school with more debt than anybody else, and so they literally can't buy. So it's pushed everything out. I think the desire's there. You see that in the surveys. The ability, not so much.
Well, thank you so much, Elise Glink, for being with us. And where can we find more?
Go to thinklink.com or bestmoneymoves.com, G.
Thanks again.
You bet.
Time now for the Wintrust Business Minute.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Metro plans to spend nearly $1.2 billion over the next 5 years, buying up 200 rail cars and locomotives to rehab. The money is coming from the capital bill Illinois lawmakers approved earlier this year. Metro also wants commuters to weigh in. They're asking riders to complete a survey about which amenities are most important to them: power outlets, tray tables, Wi-Fi, even cup holders. Meanwhile, Metro is in the midst of a contract dispute with Union Pacific. Metro pays $100 million a year to operate on the UP lines. The contract dispute over who will operate the lines is now in federal court, according to Crane Chicago Business. It's unclear how long the legal case will take to be settled. Gas prices are trending down ahead of Christmas. GasBuddy.com says the price for a gallon of gas has dropped 9 cents over the past week, putting the average for the city and suburbs at $2.67 a gallon. That number's down 12 cents from a month ago, 27 cents from a year ago. I'm Ryan Burrow, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Welcome back to the Wintrust Business Lunch. And in studio, it's Amy Guth, host of the Crane's Daily Gist. How are you, Amy?
Hi, how's it going?
I should say happy Hanukkah to you.
Yeah, it started last night. Thanks.
Okay. Are we going to do anything exciting?
You know, light some candles, spin some dreidels.
Yes.
Fry
the
some
Adam
potatoes.
Sandler song?
That's
Eight
right.
Crazy Nights?
We sing it every night. It's a thing we do.
All right. Big, big story. It's on the cover of every business page. Boeing fire CEO.
Well, so Dennis Muilenburg is the CEO for Boeing. He has been ousted. He resigned earlier. Boeing's board position is that, hey, we need to make a leadership change. Given all, if you think back over the year, even late in 2018, when that first Boeing aircraft went down, that Indonesian aircraft, then so soon after followed by the Ethiopian air crash, killing a total of 346 people. I mean, that's the number we keep going back to all year. At the end of the day, this is about multiple fatalities. This is about a huge loss of life. And then, you know, the hits just kind of kept coming for Boeing. We saw so many. Even this weekend, we saw their space program did not quite go quite as planned, that mission. And one of their aircraft landed in New Mexico after not getting to the International Space Station. And that was the whole thing, is because American astronauts, we have to purchase seats for them on other aircraft to get them to the space station. So Boeing was going to kind of take up some of the slack on that. So big, big crisis. Anyway, Dennis Muilenburg is out. The chairman will begin in the CEO role on January 13th. So here's somebody who's already been part of the company for a long time. He's not coming in from the outside. There's a lot of shifts to be made, you know, this is another page in a year long plus chapter of the story of Boeing that's been really, I mean, it's really been a, I don't want to say fascinating story, because there were right. You know, the stakes were so high and fatalities were involved, but it's really been just as a business case, like a holy moly, when do the shoes stop dropping here for them? So I think we kind of saw this coming eventually. The sense that the board gave earlier, even just a couple of months ago, was, you know, he's the right guy. We're behind him. We're committed to giving him the space and time to see this through. Then the space thing happened, but also the FAA kind of admonished them publicly. So some things have happened, and that's where Boeing's at today.
What was it, a big surprise to you or no?
No, I mean, I knew it was coming. I didn't think it was coming quite yet. In fact, there was just a big profile of him over the weekend in the New York Times. So in retrospect, you're like, well, maybe this was kind of orchestrated. Maybe this was part of the plan. But yeah, that's where that is. So Boeing will start the new year under new leadership. The CFO will be the interim CEO.
Got it.
Just to get through that transition, because, hey, 2 days before Christmas, here we have a new CEO. Why don't you start your new job? That's a lot. That's
yes.
kind of a lot. Even if you've been, you know, on mm-hmm. top of the company and you've been serving as chairman, that's a lot, especially when the stakes are that high. So the CFO will kind of get the company through the first couple of weeks of the year, and then he'll step aside. The chairman will become CEO, and the new chapter for Boeing begins.
What other stories are you following?
Well, you know, today, many, many stories. And usually this time of year, business stories are a little quieter. Mm-hmm. That's not the case today. There's plenty of things.
It's a holiday gift for you.
It's a gift that keeps on going. But today on the podcast, I talked with Hugh Delios, who is the editor of Crane's Forum, which is a really cool thing. I really love. It is a month-long look at some of the biggest issues facing the city and state. And, you know, in a time when a lot of journalism organizations have very limited space and time for in-depth reporting, Crane's has carved out kind of, here is a spot every month for a big deep dive around a certain issue. And the one this month is about, last month was about cannabis, and that was a really, really compelling and interesting piece. And it's not just Crane's reporters, there's outside voices that participate in it too. This one is about jobs and wages, and that's a really important topic. We've been having a lot of discussions around minimum wage, around pay gaps, not just by gender, but by class. When you see, especially in healthcare, leadership making $11 million and then nurses threatening to go on strike and hospital workers not making 15 bucks an hour, big conversations are happening there. So it's really kind of taking a look at, what does it mean to have a good job? What does good job even mean anymore when we have the gig economy, when we have so many people supplementing their income in so many different ways? So we talked about that, and we talked about the forum, and I really love talking with him. He's just a really, has a very thoughtful approach to topics, and it's very cool to kind of take a multi-story approach to digging in and really just saying, hey, we're not going to solve anything, but let's just raise the issues and raise the conversation and see where we land. So that's what we talked about today.
We have about a minute left. Do you want to talk about Sears or Coors?
Oh my gosh, so many things.
Well, I know.
Sears is selling off its diehard battery brand to Advance Auto Parts. This is another, kind of like Boeing, right? Here's another, a brand that we've seen, a local brand that's just been, you know, a tried and true brand for years and years, suddenly taking a lot of hits in the last year. But one thing I would also like to plug is, over the next 2 weeks, I do year-end reviews. Mm. I've been taping them with reporters over the last week. I'm taking a look at what were the big stories in government and politics, and then asking that reporter, what are you looking at in the year ahead? I talked with the tech reporter. I talked with the real estate reporter, Dennis Rodkin, really taking a deep look at what stands out to you about this year. How would you characterize this year? And what are you going to start off 2020 by keeping a close eye on? And what do you predict for the year ahead? So I'm very excited by those. So regular listeners, if you subscribe on Spotify or on WGN Plus, you will be able to find those episodes too.
Any predictions from you? What are you looking forward to?
Oh my gosh, I need a nap. I mean, it's been a year. There's been so many things. It has been a year. Well, and 2020 is not going to let us have that nap, right? Because we're going into, we got primaries in March. We've got a presidential election year. We're going to be kind of bombarded. And so many of those business stories will be front and center. We've got, you know, policy changes coming. We have here in the state, we're trying to figure out the casino, and we have medical marijuana happening January 1st with a prediction that we're going to run out of it very quickly. So, you know, lots to watch.
Well, you know what? I sleep easier at night knowing that you're on top of everything.
I try. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Amy Guth, host of Crane's Daily Gist. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.